universe is divided in regard to time into cycles of forms. Satyuga, the golden age of religiosity and prosperity. Treta Yuga, where 3/4 of the population remain God conscious. Dwapara Yuga, in which at the beginning half are God conscious, gradually dwindles until it intersects with Kali Yuga. At the beginning of the age of Kali, not more than 1/4 of the population follow any religious principles. And gradually it becomes greater and greater in degradation, until at the end of Kali Yuga, practically 100% of the population is utterly sinful. So this age of Kali Yuga, it is the Iron Age. It is the age of darkness. It is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. And yet we find in the Shastra, the Bhagavad Purana, there is a beautiful verse which describes how the great saints and sages, they worship Kali Yuga more than any other age. Now we know the great souls, they are by nature para-dukha-dukhi. That means their only sorrow is the sorrow of others. They only live for the welfare of others. They are even willing to suffer, be humiliated, and sometimes even be killed for the welfare of others. It's like there is a story of a sage who was sitting on the bank of the Ganges. There was a scorpion drowning. So this person picked up this scorpion, and the scorpion stung him. And of course, the sting of a scorpion is excruciatingly painful. So his hand, as a reflex, dropped back and the scorpion fell into the water to drown. So he picked it up again and it stung him. And again he dropped it and he picked it up again and again it stung him. Dropped it again into the water. He picked it up again it stung him. Somebody was watching this. And they asked this great sage, "What are you doing? Why do you keep picking up this cruel creature? Why don't you let it drown?" And he said, "It is the nature of a scorpion to sting. And it is the nature of a saintly person to be willing to endure even the greatest sufferings to help a living being in need." So this is the very nature of the great souls. We find throughout history, Srila Haridas Thakur, how he was caned in 22 marketplaces. Lord Jesus was crucified. Srila Prabhupada, what he went through. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To this very day, they have given their lives in sacrifice for the benefit of others. Not at all averse to poverty, to imprisonment, to harassment, to utter humiliation. And if it comes to death, they're willing to accept death, if that's what is required to uplift those who are suffering in ignorance. So why would such compassionate persons worship the age of Kali, which is the age of the greatest suffering? Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrita. It is an age where people are spiritually incredibly lazy, unlucky, unfortunate, less memory, short lives, and always in anxiety. But
Srila Prabhupada
quotes the verse from the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, in which the secret is revealed. Kalera dosa nide raja nasti he kamahan guna kirtana reva krishna sya mukta sangha param bhajet. The great devotees of the Lord worship the age of Kali Yuga because in this age, anyone, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, even if they are living in an ocean of faults, by the Sankirtan movement, they can attain the perfection of liberation. In no other age is the perfection of life so easily readable. It is also described in one verse that what was available after 60 to 70,000 years of performing tapasya meditation in the Satyayuga, performing grand sacrifices in the Treta Yuga, intimately worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Dwapara Yuga, the same effect is achieved by simply chanting the holy name of God sincerely in the Kali Yuga. Krishna Varanam Tvisa Krishnam Jagyai Sankirtana Puryayu Janti Hishumedasha. Therefore, it is said in Bhagavatam by the nine Jogendras that those who have good intelligence in the age of Kali Yuga will worship the Supreme Lord who comes in a beautiful form. Although he is blackish, he comes in a non-blackish form. He comes in a form that is the splendor of molten gold. Sri Gaura Sundar. And in this form, he appears with his divine associates, and they teach us the path, the Yuga Dharma of Sankirtan. And one who accepts this sacrifice is most intelligent amongst men. And such a person, if he simply takes to the process of chanting the holy name sincerely, he is guaranteed by the mercy of Lord Gauranga the perfection of life in this life. Srila Prabhupada used to say that self-realization is not cheap, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that he has made it cheap. You have to pay the price, but it's a very cheap price. Just follow the four regulative principles. Humbly serve your spiritual master and chant the holy names. And the power of the holy names will give you the mercy of God by which you can overcome all impossible obstacles. In this way, he has given so much for so little. Therefore, we read every morning, Cheto Dara Panamara Janam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirbhapanam. All glory to the Sankirtan movement, which cleanses the heart, which has been covered by so many anartas for millions of births. The power of the holy name is inconceivable, but it must be chanted offenselessly. Srila Prabhupada would often quote the story of a man. He was a Muslim, and he was being killed by a boar in the forest. Now, for the Muslims, they eat meat, but they will not eat pigs. The boar is a type of a pig, because they are considered abominable, because they eat their own stool, so they will not eat it. And the Arabic word, or the Persian word, for the abominable creature, the pig, is translated as abominable one. And abominable is haram. So as he was being bored by this gore, he was calling out, haram, haram, you abominable creature. And he left his body. And he got liberation because he chanted the name of Ram. But it's interesting, he did not chant the name of Ram with any offense. He was not expecting anything, any material results. He was not sinning on the strength of chanting. He was not blaspheming devotees. He was not blaspheming the Vedic literatures. He was chanting offenselessly. And because he chanted offenselessly the name of Ram, the power of the name of Ram brought him back to the state of liberation. Of course, to go back to Godhead, you must go beyond just chanting offenselessly. You must chant purely. You must be chanting with attention and with love. Haridas Thakur, in one assembly at the home of Govardhan and Hiranya Madhu Madar, he was preaching in this way, that the chanting of the holy name of Krishna is the only way in Kali Yuga for liberation. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranjata. And this name of Krishna is so powerful, it is so glorious. It is like the coming of the sun. When the sun rises, it dispels all ignorance and reveals itself in truth. The name of Krishna, he was explaining, is none different than Krishna. When the name arises in your heart, Krishna reveals himself within your heart, and the light of him dispels all darkness. And he explains that Nam Vas, even if you are chanting, not purely, but even if you are chanting offenselessly, before the name even rises in your heart and reveals itself, you attain liberation. Just like before the sun rises, it becomes light. The sun is not seen, the sun is not revealed. But as it is coming closer to being revealed, all darkness is dispelled. Just like today, the sun will rise at 6:07. But if you look out the windows, it's light. Without the sun's presence even, the light is there. So Srila Haridas Thakur was explaining that before the pure chanting of the holy name takes place and God reveals himself in your heart, a mere byproduct of chanting, a subordinate principle which is automatic for chanting, is mukti or liberation. This is the glory and power of the name. But then Haridas Thakur said that this liberation is insignificant and devotees care nothing for it. A devotee chants the holy name for one purpose alone, to attract the Son of Krishna to rise within our heart. And when he shines, he lights our heart with pure love of God. And it is only pure love that has any meaning to a devotee. He rejects even liberation before the principle of pure love. And there was one jnani who was a very intellectual man, very handsome, very young, very pious. His name was Gopal Chakravarti. He was in that assembly. And he was a follower of the impersonal school. And therefore, his life was given to the purpose of deliberation. He was performing so many sacrifices, he was going to so many lectures, hearing the glories of mukti. And he became very insulted by hearing Haridas Thakur speak like this. And he stood up in this assembly and chastised Srila Haridas Thakur. He said, "What? This is blasphemy. This is an offense to mukti, the highest perfection of life. If you are correct, it is not possible. If you are wrong when you say that mukti is nothing but an insignificant byproduct of love of God, which takes place by the mere reflection of the chanting of the holy name, then may your nose fall to the ground." When Gopal Chakravarti spoke like this, the distinguished guests and hosts in the assembly saw that Haridas Thakur was being offended. So they stopped him But Haridas was very humble. He said, yes, so be it. If I am wrong, let my nose fall to the ground. And shortly after that, Gopal Chakravarti contracted leprosy and his nose fell to the ground. And he suffered horribly. But it was a benediction, because his false pride was crushed by that suffering, and ultimately he took shelter of the Lord. He was delivered. But Haridas Thakur was very strong and very uncompromising in explaining, through his own realization, the infinite power of the holy name. And in this age of Kali Yuga especially, it is not that the name of God is more powerful in the Kali Yuga. The name of God is eternally non-different than God. But you see, it is such a simple process that in other ages, the Lord tests his devotees so that they have to go through the proper expression of surrender. But in the age of Kali, no one can do it. It is not possible. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to spread the Yuga Dharma, that in this age of Kali, just chant the holy names. Don't worry about everything else. Just have faith that Krishna is non-different than his name. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that if you simply have this faith that Krishna is non-different than his name, then you are liberated from all suffering. And that was Srila Prabhupada's only weapon. He had no money. He hardly spoke understandable English. But when he came to the West, he was armed with invincible, unflinching faith that Krishna's name is so powerful that whatever situation I am in, the name of God can bring pure love. He had that faith. Others who were great scholars and even pure devotees of the Lord, they were enjoying Krishna in Vrindavan, but they couldn't figure out how possibly could the people of the West, even the people out of the holy places in India, how will they ever understand these things? Even today when we go to Vrindavan, many very, very great purified Babajis, they can't understand, how is it possible that your Guru Maharaj is doing? How is it possible that you people are going to these horrible places, these horrible people, so much in the modes of passion and ignorance? Even the colleges in Bombay, they can't... Some of these people have gone to college. How could you even attempt to preach to these people? Such a waste of time. They're such crazy, puffed up, materialistic sense enjoyers. It's inconceivable to them. But the devotees, because they simply have that implicit faith that the name of God is so powerful that anyone, whatever their classification is, however degraded they are, Dina Hina Yatta Chilo Harinama Udarilo Tara Sakshi Jagai Madhai. Narottam Das Thakur prays that the name of Krishna is so great that even the two most sinful of all sinners, Jagai and Madhai, were delivered utterly into the realm of pure devotional service simply by taking the name. That is the proof. No one in this age can be as fallen as Jagai and Madhai. And they were delivered simply because one devotee, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, was compassionate enough to tolerate their offenses, and despite all of their aggressions, he was willing to administer to them the holy name of Krishna. They became Paramahamsa's great saints. So Lord Ramchandra, he created the Treta Yuga, the Satya Yuga in Treta Yuga. And that same Lord Ramchandra has appeared as Lord Gaurasundar to create the kingdom of God, to create the atmosphere of Satyayuga even in the age of Kali. You see these temples that we are living in, they are not in Kali Yuga, so long as the devotees are taking shelter of the holy name. This is Satyayuga in this room, but as soon as you go out, it becomes Kali. Why? Because everyone here is simply surcharging everything with the holy name of Krishna. As soon as we forget the name, we're in Kali Yuga. But as long as we are remembering, we are in the spiritual world. We're liberated. Prabhupada used to tell us in the earliest days, he said, all my disciples are liberated. We're just looking at each other like, we're liberated? We have so many horrible desires in our minds. And some devotees are not even following the four original principles, and he says, all of my disciples are liberated. The devotees challenge Prabhupada. We don't want to contradict you in our thinking, but we don't feel liberated. He said, the fact is you are acting on the liberated stage. The fact that you are chanting the holy names of the Lord regularly and humbly serving your spiritual master and following the four regular principles, you're acting as a liberated soul. The only thing is you haven't yet realized the position that you're on. You're on the liberated position, but you haven't realized it. But gradually, by associating with the liberated position of pure devotional service, you will realize it. That is the gift of our Guru Maharaj, is he is giving us the ways and the means by which each and every one of us, without doubt, can find pure love within our own hearts. Parama karuna pahundvi janani thai goda janita. Srila Bhakti Pad, Srila Prabhupada, they are within our own hearts. Parama karuna pahundvi janani thai goda janita. Without doubt, can find pure love within our own hearts. Parama karuna pahundvi janani thai goda janita. The Prabhupada, they are giving us the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are the most merciful of all incarnations. They are the essence of all incarnations, because they are giving what no one else has ever done. They are given pure love of God indiscriminately to anyone who will simply accept the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Simply we must chant according to their instruction with a sincere heart. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Ajamila was more fortunate. This person got liberated. But Ajamila, because he was a humble devotee, and because he was an honest and sincere devotee in his youth, Krishna never forgot him. Although due to certain conditionings, due to association with a low-class woman, He was not able to maintain his vows. He was simply overwhelmed by lust. But because he was basically a sincere soul who just couldn't control his senses, he just fell down, not out of envy, not out of greed, but just out of uncontrolled senses due to previous conditionings. The Lord never left him. The Lord allowed him to go through all of these circumstances. But the Lord in his heart, the Bhagavatam says, impelled him to name his child Narayan, knowing that that would be his greatest attachment, knowing that he would chant the name of the child at the time of death. Krishna arranged all these incidents because he explains that my devotee never perishes. He was a sincere devotee. No matter how low he falls, I'm going to be there to pick him up at the right moment. And that was the right moment. So he chanted the name of Narayan, which was enough to bring to the attention of the Vishnu Dutas, who came to the scene and saved him from the Yama Dutas. But he was conscious of that whole experience, and he realized how he had wasted his life so fruitlessly. And therefore they gave him another 12 years, by which he went to Haridwar and on the bank of the Ganges completely fixed his mind in devotional service without deviation. And then he went back to Godhead. He was most fortunate, because he did not only chant offenselessly, but he also had gained great spiritual credits in the past. Is there any other questions? Yes.
Lord Bharata had done a very good austerity by staying in Nandigram, and he did more austerity compared to Lord Ram, because he was having all sorts of facilities and all sorts of things there. Voluntarily and willingly he has performed all his austerity in such a way that he did more austerity compared to Ram, because Ram didn't have anything altogether. He was forced, the circumstances were such that he had to do. Bharata was not having the same circumstances. He was not being cursed also to do on that basis. Now, what I mean to say, is how can we, when we have all sorts of facilities in our hand, yet voluntarily and willingly we can accept austerity just for the pleasure of Krishna? Because it's very difficult when we have all the facilities, then voluntarily and willingly we accept austerity for the pleasure of Krishna. Because once we don't have, then we are compelled to do austerity.
By associating with austere people, we learn to value Krishna consciousness as the greatest wealth. By associating with materialistic people, we learn to value money and positioning as the greatest wealth. In the association of persons who are detached, we learn to find pleasure in a simple life, simple living, high thinking. Simple means however rich you are, just live a simple life, take what you need, and use the rest for the glorification of Krishna and for the upliftment of humanity. Just take what you need. There's no need for huge bank balances. Just take what you need, live a simple life. If you don't engage in vices, if you don't engage in luxurious living trying to show off to others, then what do you need to spend your money for? You get simple prasad, you have a nice but simple home. What do you need money for? Use it for Krishna. Use it for projects which will help others to understand Krishna. This is simple living, high thinking for a grihastha. And then even in the pool of the filthy waters of this material society, you can remain like a lotus flower, untouched. It is not very difficult. But people, the most difficult thing is people will not understand you. They will think you are crazy. They will warn you against it. They will threaten you. That is Maya speaking through them. Maya is always trying to complicate your life at every step. And the devotees are trying to just make it very simple. So you have to ignore Maya, whoever she speaks through, and accept the word of Krishna. Just chant Hare Krishna, be happy. It's all you need is the holy name. And live a simple life. If you're making lots of money, use it for Krishna. Don't stop making it, use it for Krishna. That is the perfection of the grihastha life. And we will have joy, we will have pleasure. Being free of greed in and of itself is such a relief. It's like a mountainous burden taken off of our hearts. Any other questions? Udila Varuna Purana Bhage Dvijamini Gora Amani Jaga. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, every morning, just as the sun was rising, this time of the day, they would go out into the streets and they would call out, wake up, sleeping souls. You uselessly spend your entire day decorating your dead bodies and your nights completely in the ignorance of sleep or in the passion of sex. Wake up, chant the holy names, Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari. Fill your mouth with the holy name of Krishna. Find the true happiness, the true bliss of the eternal self. That is our only business in this world, to deliver the sound of the name of Krishna. We have no other business. Keep it simple. It's our only business, nothing else. We always remember that our life is simple. If we have any other business, our life becomes endlessly complicated. Hare Krishna.